So today is the appearance day of Radha. That's very nice. So I'll read a little, we'll talk something. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Vrindavan. The first time he tried to go, he didn't go. The second time, it's interesting, the first time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to go to Vrindavan, he met Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami at Ramakeli. And Sanatana Goswami, and there were thousands of people, koti lakh. Lakh is 100,000, koti is, actually, koti is 10 million. So there were so many people with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were following him. So Sanatana Goswami, he said, he gave some advice. And he said that when you go to Vrindavan, you should not go to Vrindavan beating a drum. In other words, you shouldn't go with lots of people. And he said, you shouldn't go like a magician with so many people. And Lord Chaitanya thought about it. And he said, he is right. I will only go to Vrindavan by myself or maybe with one person. And I will not go with so many thousands, beating a drum, making a big noise. So the idea is, Vrindavan is a very solitary place. Nibrityastan. Stan means place. Pakistan. Uzbekistan. Chatwardstan. Phoenixstan. So, Stan is place. Nibritya means solitary. It's a solitary place. You don't go there making a big noise, beating a drum. So Lord Chaitanya, he went back to Puri and then again he attempted to go to Vrindavan. So he actually managed to, he wanted to go to Vrindavan by himself. But then Sarup Damodar, that's the original Sarup Damodar, who is his eternal consort, Sarup Damodar is actually Lalita. And Ramananda Roy both petitioned him, you can't go by yourself. What happens when you get into a swoon and you fall on the ground unconscious? Who will help you? Who will cook for you? Who will carry, you know, he's carrying his water pot. Who will carry your clean cloth? So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, all right. But if I take someone from my associates, then who would I take? Because if I take one person, another person will be disappointed. So I have to take a new person, like a new person. So then they found Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he traveled with Lord Chaitanya through Jarakanda Forest to Vrindavan. Now the first place Lord Chaitanya went when he entered Vrindavan was where? What do you think? Radhakund. So we'll read about it. First place was Radhakund. Chapter 18. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So at that time, Radhakund was concealed. It hadn't been, it was hidden. Gupta, it was hidden. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan and pleased all living entities, moving and non-moving, with his glances. The Lord took much personal pleasure in seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga traveled in Vrindavan. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Sri Vasthakur. Text 3. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy, but when he arrived at Aristagram, his sense of perception was awakened. So Aristagram is Radhakrant. The Arista, or Aristasaur demon, was killed in Radhakrant. He was a demon. The demon took the shape of a bull, and he was killed there. So Aristagram, Gram means village. So Aristagram. Purport. Avitigram is also called Aristagram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in this village, Aristasura was killed by Lord Krishna. While there, he inquired about Radhakund. No one could tell him where it was. The Brahmin accompanying him could also not ascertain its whereabouts. There was another Brahmin accompanying him. He was called the Sanodiya Brahmin. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the holy places known as Radhakund and Syamakund were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radhakund and Syamakund, who were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds were called Sri Radhakund and Syamakund. In this way, Radhakund and Syamakund were discovered. Translation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, "Where is Radhakund?" No one could tell him, and the Brahmin accompanying him did not know either. So, after the disappearance of Krishna, the Kali Yuga set in. So all the holy places in Vrindavan became covered. And Vrindavan was simply jungle. There were no temples at all. It was simply jungle. And it was a hunting ground for the Muslim kings. Muslim kings used to go there and hunt. So when I read this, I asked myself, this is quite amazing. Ultimately, everything is controlled by Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, it was his arrangement that Vrindavan be covered like this. There was absolutely nothing there. Nothing. When you go there now, so many temples, so many holy places. But at that time, everything was covered. And even Radhakund, which is described as the center of this universe, the most holiest of all holy places, the Mahatirtha, was also concealed. Text 5. The Lord then understood that the holy place called Radhakund was no longer visible. However, being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, he discovered Radhakund and Syamakund in two paddy fields. There was only a little water, but he took his bath there. So there was only a little bit of water, he took his bath. Text 6. When the people of the village saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of the paddy fields, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Radhakund. Translation. Of all the gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to the Lord because it is very dear to Radharani. And then Lord Chaitanya sang this famous verse, which we'll also sing. The translation is from Padma Purana. The translation is, Shrimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Shrimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. So this is the standard verse amongst the Vaishnavas for glorifying Radhakund. And this is the verse that Lord Chaitanya quoted. So please repeat after me. Yata Radha Priya Visnos Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sava Gopishu Saivaika Vishnu Ajanta Vallabha. Again. Yata Radha, Yata Radha, Priya Visnos, Priya Visnos, Tasya Kundam, Tasya Kundam, Priyam Tata, Priyam Tata, Sava Gopisu, Saivaka Vishnu Achyanta Vallabha. Vishnu Achyanta Vallabha. So this is the standard verse, and it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it means Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Radharani is certainly the most beloved. It's taken from Padma Purana. Text number 9. Lord Chaitanya said, in that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have a rasa dance on the bank. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whomever bathes in that lake even once in his life. So you just have to bathe once and you can get ecstatic love like that of Radharani. So how many of our devotees here have touched, either put some drops on their head or taken bath in Radhakund? Raise your hands now. Very good. Wonderful. So the others, you should make this your ambition. Just like every Muslim goes on Hajj, goes to Mecca, and does his thing. So we should also have this ambition to go to Radhakund. Text 11. The attraction of Radhakund is as sweet as that of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kund are as glorious as Radharani. This is from Govinda Lilamrita. Because of its wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Radhakund? So the word is ekabara snan. Snan is to bathe. Ekabara means just once. Eka, ekdo tenja. Eka, just once. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Radharani's loving attraction for Krishna. Now, Radharani's attraction for Krishna is not ordinary praying. It's described as Mahabhav. So you can also attain that same Mahabhav for Krishna, the same Mahabhav that Radharani has, if you bathe just once in Radhakund. So therefore, it's very important that we try to do this. Visit Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is shaped like a peacock. Shaped like a peacock. And the bottom, where you get the feathers, the tail feathers, that is the bottom of Govardhan Hill. Apsarakund Panchami. Panchuri. And the two eyes of the peacock is Shyamakund and Radhakund. So they're the top. So this place is very special. One Kartik, I was actually going to live at Radhakund for the whole Kartik, and I got some room there also, but it was a little too noisy, and at that time my health wasn't very good, so I didn't stay there for the whole month. That was my actual plan. Radhakund is very interesting. The actual lake is the size of a football field. And Shyamakund, which is right next door, is twice as big. It's also quite deep. And you get many turtles, big turtles, this big. Their heads are as big as your hand. And people feed them. People also go and throw money into Radhakund. And you get little bridge busy boys, it's so amusing. Little bridge busy boys, about 8 or 9. And they have a fishing line. Fishing line, and on the end of the fishing line is a magnet. You know, and they throw the magnet into the Radhakund, especially where the steps are under the water, and they try to catch to the magnet. They try to catch the money. The money sticks to the magnet. It's Indian money, I guess. I guess it's different to South African money, you know. So I see these little kids going around fishing, but not for fish, but for money. All the way, originally, we're reading Radhakund was simply a paddy field. It was a small pond. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami to excavate these holy places. So Raghunath Das Goswami lived for some 40 or 50 years, about 45 years. At Radhakund, and he wanted to excavate, you know, Radhakund. He wanted to make it very nice, build it up nicely for the future. So he had no money, naturally. He used to live under the trees. So Raghunath Das Goswami lived at Radhakund, and he wanted to excavate the area, understanding that in the future many pilgrims would travel there. During this time, a rich merchant named Sampana went to Badarikshram for darshan of the deity. Krishna appeared in the dream to this rich merchant called Sampana and told him to go to Raghunath Das Goswami and give him money to help him excavate Radhakund. So this rich merchant was instructed by Krishna in a dream, which is quite unusual, to go to find Raghunath Das Goswami and help him excavate. So Radhakund was excavated. It's square. And around the side there are many temples. There's one temple, it's called the Gopal Temple. And this was built by a king of Manipur. Manipur is used to be part of India, but now it's different. And Manipur is the only Vaishnav state in the world. But they're so strict that they don't allow foreigners in. And because they don't allow foreigners in, their culture is still like it has been for the last 1,000 years. Narottam Das Thakur originally went to Manipur and introduce Krishna consciousness there. Of course, we do have a godbrother, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who Prabhupada was very keen to bring him here. He's a scientist. And he's actually from Manipur. So he's preaching very enthusiastically in Manipur. And he has a large following. And people give him land. But if you're not, you know, of Indian origin or not from Manipur, it's very difficult. You can maybe get in there for 2 days or 3 days. That's the most. So because they're very strict about allowing foreigners in, they retain their culture. So the one Maharaj of Manipur owned this temple called the Gopal Temple, which was at Radhakund. And this Gopal Temple was designed in such a way that when the deity is on the altar, Gopal, and when the sun rises, in the morning. The first beams of the rays come straight into the temple, and Gopal sees it. So it's in one, it's at one of the four corners of Radhakund. So although Radhakund is built up, they left a gap so the sun could always shine through, and Gopal would catch the first sun rays. So that's actually, that temple was donated to Bhaktisri Damodar Maharaj. So it's like an ISKCON center, and devotees stay there. So all around Radhakund and around Shyamakund, there are temples. It's quite interesting. One side of Radhakund belongs to the bridge busses, where they do their business, sell fruits and vegetables, cut people's hair. That's your bridge buses. Then the other four sides belongs to the Radhakund Babajis. So the Radhakund Babajis actually control Radhakund. They control it. And there's always like some friction going on. And the general friction is that the Radhakund Babajis, they want to keep it quiet. They don't want to popularize it. And they don't want to commercialize it. But the Brahmin Pandits, the Brijbasi Brahmin Pandits, are always interested in paisa. Paisa pe, tamasa pe. They're always interested in pais. They want people to come. They want to put up bright lights and have it open at night. You know, like, you know, Los Angeles, Las Vegas or something, you know, where they get all the money. So there's this friction. And even they go to court. You know, typical Indian scenario, you know, end up going to court and things like this. So, Shyamakund, Raghunath Das Goswami, was excavating Shyamakund, and he wanted to also make it square. But in a dream, the five Pandavas, or Maharaj Yudhisthira, appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami in his dream and said, "My dear Raghunath, myself and my four brothers are living on the bank of Shyamakund in the form of four trees. And if you dig us, if you, we want to stay here and do our bhajan. So please don't uproot us." So because of that, Shyamakund is not square. It's sort of like oblong. It's not quite oblong. It's oblong and then goes in a different angle. So the reason why is because Raghunath was instructed by Maharaj Yudhisthira not to dig up those five trees with the five Pandavas. And those trees still exist. Of course, maybe not the original, maybe a descendant of the original. So when pilgrims go there, we always touch the tree to our head, like that, respect it. So this Radhakund is a very special place. There's some very nice stories about it. As I mentioned, how was it created? Well, there was a demon called Aristasura. The word Asura means demon. So we have Palamvra Sura, Denaka Sura, Vitra Sura. So this is a demon, but in the shape of a bull. Of course, a bull represents what? The bull represents religion. And the four legs of the bull represent the four religious principles we follow: austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So this bull came and was causing some problem. So Krishna killed the bull, Aristasura. So when Krishna killed the bull, Radharani and the gopis, they criticized Krishna and said, "You have killed a bull, you know, and the bull stands for Dharma. So you are contaminated. Now you have to purify yourself. And the only way you'll purify yourself is if you take bath in the holy waters." So this is all pastime. So Krishna, he took his foot, his right foot or his left foot, and very quickly, just by the arrangement of God, a great hole was created. And then by Krishna's arrangement, all the rivers personified filled up that hole. The river Ganges, the Jamuna, Saraswati, Kaveri, so many rivers. Gangara, Jamuna, Cheva, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmadi, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jalashman, Godavari, all these rivers came. So then Krishna took bath in the river. So now he's taken bath, and then he's looking at Radharani and the gopis, you know. And he's saying, well, now I have taken bath, now I am purified. But you have sided with a demon. So you are now contaminated. You sided with this demon, Aristasura. So what to speak of me being contaminated? You are contaminated. So you have to take bath. So Radharani said, well, I will not take bath in your lake. I will make my own lake. You know? So she took one of her bangles and broke it, and with the bangle started digging a hole, and all the other gopis did also. And in a very short time, there was a big crater, but no water. So Krishna was laughing, oh, no water. So then the gopis formed a line down to Manasi Ganga. Now, from Radhakund to Manasi Ganga is 8 or 9 kilometers. Anyhow, they formed a line and they started transferring water from Manasi Ganga. So then all the rivers personified, Jamuna, Ganga, all personified, came before Radharani and prayed, can we please serve you? Can we be of assistance? Can we please fill up your kund? And Radharani agreed. So those two rivers filled up, I mean the many rivers filled up her kund. So that is the origin of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. During the monsoon, many times these two kunds, they flood. If you go there to Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, there's a walkway, maybe 10 feet wide, which separates the two. But during the monsoon, these two rivers flood. So when it floods, it's a sign that Radha and Krishna's love is flooding. This sign is also taken in Mayapur. Our Mayapur temple is on the side of the Ganges. And often the Ganges river floods and even floods into the temple. I think the last year there was big floods. You know, and all the devotees have to move from the first floor to the second, or rather from the ground floor to the first floor. So when it floods, then it's understood that love of Godhead is going to flood the world. So, in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadasamrita, Rupa Goswami instructs that we should take bath in Radhakund. We should take bath in Radhakund. Previously, devotees used to do this. In 1975, when our movement was still very young, the devotees went to Radhakund and they took bath. But it wasn't just taking bath. Many of these devotees were from Europe and America and were a little boisterous. And they got carried away. So they were doing like diving into Radhakund, doing flips into Radhakund, back somersaults into Radhakund, diving bombs into Radhakund. So this really didn't go down well with the bridge busies, especially the Babajis. Can you imagine? You know, you're supposed to go into Radhakund with your hands like this, very serious, and you put drops on your head. I know some devotees, when they take bath in Radhakund, they won't kick the water, because the water Radhakund is non-different from Radharani, so it's like kicking. I know some devotees who won't even take bath in Radhakund. They just won't even take bath because they feel it's, you know, they'd rather put 3 drops on their head. They just don't want to take bath because they're afraid of offenses. So when Prabhupada was informed that the devotees were doing dive bombs into Radhakund, he gave the instruction, no one is to take bath in Radhakund. He said that no one is to take bath in Radhakut. But in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says, you should take bath in Radhakut. You see? So that is an instruction by Prabhupada according to time, place and circumstance. So nowadays, some gurus within our society, they will say to their disciples, yes, you can take bath. And others will say, no, you cannot. One of my godbrothers, he's living at Govardhan Hill. He's been living there for 20 years. He never has taken bath in Radhakut, although he lives there fully for 20 years. Then there's another, Mahanidhi Swami, who will take bath in Radhakut 3 or 4 times a day. He told me, Mahanidhi Swami, one time, he stood in Radhakut up to his waist for something like 3 or 4 hours, reciting different prayers. And even the turtles were coming up and nibbling his feet. And the fish were like, you know, touching his feet and stuff like this. So whether you take bath in Radhakund or put 3 drops, 4 drops on your head, you can also do that. Both are acceptable. But now you're supposed to, the best way is to get permission from your particular guru, Diksha Guru, or if not able to, Siksha Guru, before you actually do it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would visit Radhakund. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also visited Radhakund. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur built a house at Radhakund. It is called Swananda Sukhada Kunj. And it's about 100 meters from Radhakund. That house you can go and see. It belongs to the Gaudiya Mat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur originally built it, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to stay there. In that house is a Puspa Samadhi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda, including Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's walking stick. His walking stick, his wooden shoes, and his bed, and a chair that he used to sit on. In the room, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta installed a Western toilet. Not one of those squat ones, but a real Western toilet. And it's in his bedroom. And there's nothing separating the bedroom from his toilet. It's not like there's a wall with a door. You know, there's a small wall, 3 feet high. That's what's separating it. So some other Srila Bhaktisiddhanta felt the need to establish a Western toilet. Maybe this was because he was, you know, thinking to preach in the West. So he would visit Radhakund during the month of Kartik. And on one very famous occasion, Srila Prabhupada came to visit Srila Bhaktisiddhanta at Radhakund. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was walking around Radhakund. And at that time, I think it was 1935, he told Srila Prabhupada, he confided in Prabhupada and said, I have built this marble temple in Calcutta, in Bug Bazaar, which is the flagship of the Gaudiya Mat, an enormous, beautiful marble temple. Actually, it's not so enormous, but it was a marble temple. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was disappointed that some of his disciples were squabbling or arguing over what room they would stay in. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, there will be fire. Fire means there's going to be problems. Better we take the marble from this temple, sell it and print books. And he told Prabhupada that. So this is why Prabhupada took very seriously the idea of printing books. And Rupa Goswami also describes in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu that to be too keen or too eager to build temples is against the principles of devotional service. I think it's the 12th or the 13th Anga in chapter 6 of Nectar Devotion. To be too much interested in reading books, you know, to accumulate knowledge for the sake of knowledge, this is Vedic scriptures, or to unnecessarily have too many disciples, and to be too much concerned with building temples. Of course, we are concerned with building temples, like in Phoenix, because there's a large Indian community. you know, 500,000. But if you consider America, Australia, Italy, France, we're not building temples. We're simply buying houses or chateaus or some castle, and we convert it into a temple. It's only in the Indian areas, you know, like Mauritius, Fiji, South Africa, that we're actually going to the trouble to build, you know, ornate temples. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had that very wonderful meeting with Prabhupada at Radhakund. Another occasion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was at Radhakund, staying in this house for Nanda Sakada Kunj. I always visit that house. For me, it's the most important place in Radhakund. Because first you get permission from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda before you can take bath in Radhakund. First you have, you know, ontologically, spiritually, you have to get permission from the previous acharyas before you enter into Radha Krishna pastimes or Radha Kund Leela. So this is their place, Swananda Sagada Kunj. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was staying there, and the Maharaj of Bharatpur came. And the Maharaj of Bharatpur was doing Dandavat Prakrama around Radha Kund. So what is Dandavat Prakrama? You fall straight and offer your obeisances, and then where your hands end, you put a stone. And then you stand at that stone, and again you fall flat, and then you go forward like this. It's called Dandavat Prakrama or Parikrama. So many devotees do that around Radha Kund. You can do it in about 3 or 4 hours. Because Radha Kund is, as I mentioned, the size of a football field. So he was doing Dandavat Prakrama. And they went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and they said, he's such a great devotee of Radharani. He's doing Dandavat Prakrama. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, but there is a big difference between him and us. He is doing Dandavat Prakrama. Or rather, he is offering respect to Radharani because she is dear to Krishna. But we are worshipping Krishna, or we do, we are worshipping Krishna because he is dear to Radharani. In other words, Radharani is our Ishta Devata. She is our worshipable object. And because Krishna is dear to her, we worship Krishna. But the Maharaj of Bharatpur is worshipping Radharani because she is dear to Krishna. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, we are actually real Shakti worshippers. You know, in the Hindu community you get the Shakti worshippers, worshippers of Durga or Kali. But we're actually the original Shakti worshippers. And we're worshipping Radharani. We are Rupanugas. What does Anuga mean? To follow. To follow who? Rup. Who is Rup? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtha. Stapatam Yena Bhutale. Rup is Rupa Goswami. Who is Rupa Goswami in Krishna Leela? Rupa Manjari. Who is Rupa Manjari? The most confidential young gopi associate of Radharani. So our whole mood is to worship Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari, who is worshipping Radharani. This is our whole, this is the confidential contribution of our particular sampradaya, is that we are followers of Radharani, or more specifically, followers of Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari. And all of our previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada going up, Bhaktisiddhanta, all of them, Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Radharaman Chakravarti, Krishna Chand Chakravarti, Ganganarayan Chakravarti, Narottam Das Thakur, all of them, Lokanath, the six Goswamis, all in that mood of serving Radharani. Radharani's pleasure comes before Krishna's pleasure. So this is the special contribution of our sampradaya, but it's very esoteric. Very few people really understand this. And when we preach, you know, publicly, it's far too esoterical to talk about. When we preach publicly, we just stress Krishna, right? Chant Hare Krishna and you know, Krishna will protect you. But as you get a little deeper into bhakti, then you'll realize that our special contribution, our particular sampradaya coming from Madhavendra Puri, is this stressing of this worship of Radharani. So obviously her kund, which is very dear to her, is very important for us. So we should visit it. We should visit Radhakund. We can take bath if we feel qualified, if we're able to do it in a respectful way. Or we can take some drops of the water and we can put on our head. Every 50 years or so, they clean Radhakund. There's pictures you can see of the water taken out of Radhakund and clay. And many times we take the Radhakund clay. Lord Chaitanya did the same thing. After taking bath, he took the clay, or the tilak, the clay from Radhakund, and he would wear it. So Radhakund tilak is not yellow, it's dark brown. And sometimes we also wear that. So when you go there, you take some Radhakund tilak and you put it on your altar. So as far as we're concerned, yes, Radhakund is a very special place. And today is the appearance of Radhakund. So I can tell you what will be going on now in Radhakund. 91, 92, 93, 94, I was there. So what happens is, bridge buses come from all over Braj. So in the Radhakund area, which is, you know, the size of the whole temple complex, from that wall to that wall, from that gateway to that gateway, you'll have about 5,000 bridge buses all around. And they're all waiting for midnight. And then at midnight, 5,000 people all take bath at once. And it's confusion and turmoil. The idea is to take bath at midnight. So they'll all be singing their kirtans and bhajans. Singing. Also, Lokanath Maharaj, our godbrother, he does the Vrindavan Parikram. So they organize it that on Radhakund they're there. So you get the ISKCON devotees also there. Maybe 50, maybe 100. And they're doing the Braj Mandal Parikrama. So I remember in 1993 or 1994, I was at Radhakund and I walked around Govardhan Hill. That was the idea, to walk around Govardhan Hill and to be at Radhakund by midnight. And I also had a Govardhan Shila, which I used to carry with me, around walking around Govardhan Hill. So I got to Radhakund and it was about midnight, and I was wondering, should I take a bath or should I not? I was in a dilemma. You know, should I take a bath? Because in ISKCON, sometimes it's a little bit of a controversy. Should you take or should you not? Because Prabhupada said in 1975, nit, no. But that was according to time, place, and circumstance, and that was a verbal. But in his writings, in his commentary on Nectar of Instruction, he is saying yes. And Rupa Goswami says yes. So I was in a dilemma. I didn't know what to do. And I'm holding his Govardhan Shila, I have Kuratra Dhoti on, and I'm standing on the step thinking, do I or do I not? To do or not to do? What is the question? To do or not to do? And it was going on in my mind. And then I slipped. Because the steps are very slippery. I slipped. And my feet went up in the air. And my head came down. And I'm carrying Govardhan Shila. And I'm laughing as I'm flying through the air. I'm a swimmer, so I wasn't afraid of drowning or anything. So I was actually laughing and thinking, well, Krishna, he solved that particular problem. And I went into the water head first, which is the best way to go. You know, not feet first. Some devotees go in, you go in head first. And I had my shield and I was laughing. And I went under the water. And I thought, well, Krishna answered that. So I took bath, no problem. So it's very wonderful, this festive occasion, appearance of Radhakund. So we should make it our goal when we visit Vrindavan to visit Radhakund. Around Radhakund there are so many places like the tongue of Govardhan, like the five Pandavas, the trees, like Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi, this Gopal temple I told you about, so many other wonderful things. So this is all by the mercy of Prabhupada. If Prabhupada hadn't come to the West, I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here listening. I wouldn't be speaking. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't appeared, Radhakund would never have been discovered. The Goswamis would never have come. So we owe so much to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to Srila Prabhupada. We owe so much. Sri Sri Radha Kun Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gopinandi. Have any questions you'd like to ask? Where's that? Rancho's going to sing. No questions? You mentioned that Sanatana Goswami advised Lord Chaitanya not to go to Vrindavan with many people, but Sanatana Goswami is Lord Chaitanya's disciple. Please explain. Whoever wrote that question is very intelligent. Who wrote that question? Out of humility, you won't put your hand up. Because as I was speaking, I also thought it's a breach of etiquette. For the disciple to instruct the guru is a breach of etiquette. It's called mayada langana. It's a transgression of etiquette. If the guru says black is white and white is black, the disciple will say, stop. Yes. Anything you say. If the guru says, you know, a donkey, you know, is a dog and a dog is a donkey, you go, yes. And then one time Prabhupada was asked, what is the position of a disciple who disagrees with the guru? And Prabhupada said, he is a damn fool. So, we can only mention, I think we can use our intelligence. Sanatana Goswami may have explained, you know, perhaps it's not such a good idea to go to Braj with so many people. It's not like he was directly instructing Lord Chaitanya, but he may have sort of mentioned, you know, using a third party. Perhaps it's not such a good idea, doing it in a very delicate way. But the way I explained it, or at least the way it's written in CC, is that Sanatana Goswami actually told Lord Chaitanya. But you can understand that's not proper. So Sanatana would have said, you know, perhaps you can consider, you know, that if you went to Vrindavan solitarily, it might be more fulfilling and satisfying than going with many thousands of people. You know, said it in a more palatable way. But the principle of a junior instructing a senior is against all principles of etiquette. It's against all principles of etiquette. And it's this etiquette which is very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya. And following the etiquette protects you from being offensive. And there is etiquette. There is etiquette. There is a way we should respect Prabhupada's disciples, the godbrothers of our particular guru. There's a way we should respect senior devotees. There's an etiquette that we have to try to follow. Besides serving Radharani, one did not get the love of serving her. Why? Please explain. Besides serving Radharani, one did not get the love of serving her. The verse in Govinda Lilamrita states that by taking Bhakti Ekabara Snana once, you attain the same love that Radharani has for Krishna. But that's general. Actually, we're more interested, or we aspire as Prayojana, our goal, simply to be the follower of Radharani. And that is the true Rupanuga. But this is very esoterical. And one may understand this after some years of practicing bhakti. I'm talking about 30 or 40 years of practicing bhakti. One may begin to understand this. What is the reason of committing offenses in the Radha Kund? What is the reason? We may be too familiar with Radha Kund. You know, one may become too familiar. Familiarity breeds contempt. So one should be very respectful. Prabhupada has written that one should be very careful about not offending the deity and the guru. Therefore, one should not come too close to the deity and the guru. So we see this with our pujaris. Sometimes they may take for granted. So pujaris have to be very careful not to get too over familiar with the deity. And those people around the guru have to be careful. Just like sometimes people were with Prabhupada so much, they took Prabhupada to be a little on the mundane side, perhaps a material person. And this happened. If you read Satsrit Maharaj's Prabhupada Lilamrita, there was a time in 1968 when Prabhupada's position was being minimized in ISKCON. And Prabhupada, he wasn't being addressed as his divine grace. He was being called Bhaktivedanta Swami. They printed a book. Ramananda Prabhu Maharaj printed Ishopanishad. And Ramananda was going to India and associating with some of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And some of them weren't favorable. So some of them were saying, no, you don't have to call Srila Prabhupada his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just call him Bhaktivedanta Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So they printed a book in New York, Ishopanishad, with his full name. Then they blocked it out with black ink, so it only read A.C. Bhaktivedanta. But you could see what was originally there. So Prabhupada didn't like that. Then one time Prabhupada came back from his morning walk in Los Angeles, and he saw a picture of Srila Bhaktivedanta upside down. Someone had cleaned his room and put the picture of his Guru Maharaj upside. He took that as a second thing. Then he went down and took Charitamrita, and they mistakenly put salt instead of sugar in the Charitamrita. So he took that also as a sign. Then he was given a Bhagavatam, which they had just printed. In the early 70s, they were printing paperback versions of Bhagavatam. Not hardbound. He opened the book up and the pages fell out. So those were four signs Prabhupada didn't like. Then one disciple came to see Srila Prabhupada and said, did you receive my letter? And Prabhupada said, what letter? And the disciple said, I sent you a letter a few weeks ago. And Prabhupada said, no, I did not receive it. And then Prabhupada found out that his own personal secretaries were screening his mail. Some letters they would give him, some they wouldn't. So Prabhupada took that as an offense also. You know, he didn't want anyone to come between the disciple and himself. So Prabhupada thought a conspiracy was going on. And he decided, I am going to leave the West. And he phoned Bhagavan Prabhu, Tamal, and he said, look, get me out of here. And they said, well, look, can we take you to Europe? He said, no, I want to go further, which meant India. So that's when he went back to India. And that's when he also invited some disciples to go with him. And that was because of what he considered a conspiracy within ISKCON to minimize his position. So then the devotees realized that they had offended Prabhupada. And then they went the other way and they made the mistake of saying, actually, Prabhupada is God. They went the other way and they made a mistake. big festival, Janmashtami, New Vrindavan, and they thought Prabhupada is God, we made a mistake. And there were four sannyasis preaching that, that Prabhupada is God. So they were very confused. So Prabhupada stayed in India for some 6 or 7 months, and things became right, and then he went back to the West. So you can't become over-familiar with guru or deity. There's always that danger. So any other questions? Where's Rancho? Oh, there. So we just have a 5-minute kirtan. I'll ask Rancho to sing something. And so I hope everyone is doing some brat, some vow for Kartik. 64 rounds? Given up eating altogether?
Taking to seven, very nice pieces of the devotees. Thank you.